Okay, we left off yesterday. So we were elaborating upon the three shittas in Rishonim as to what our take on Iri is all about. So we had the extreme view of the Rashbam that Iri is kiklisheni and basically in the realm of Bishul does absolutely nothing. Maybe Bli is a little bit, but not too much in terms of Bishul. We had the other total extreme view that was maybe Rabbeinu Tam, but it's definitely presented by as a possibility in Tosfos in Zvachim that Iri is mamish like a Kli Rishon Legamrei, Vasha Bakulo. Then we have the middle view that was initially the view of Rabbeinu Tam, that it's only Mavashel Kedeklipa, it's Mavlich Deklipa, it's Mavashel Kedeklipa, more than that, it's not. Even within the view of the Rashbam, that Iri is Keklisheni, we had a further breakdown. What is it, and precisely what time does it become a Klisheni? Does it become a Klisheni the moment that it makes contact with the bottom because of the principle of Tasa Gavar? That's how the Rashbam himself seemed to present. And then we had Rabbeinu Yonah's understanding that it becomes a cliche just simply because it exited the hot walls of the top part of the Kli Rishon, and even in midstream it could be labeled already as a cliche with the nuance and enough kamina in terms of Hilchos Shabbos. Those are the basic 3-4 shittas of Rishon. So we bumped into a Gemara yesterday at the end of the Shia Gemara Maseches Pesachim in the second parak that may shed some light on this topic. It was a sugya legabe afreshes challah, where the Gemara was working with the assumption that if I take flour and water and make some kind of a mixture with hot water, some kind of a quasi-dough. And even if I subsequently bake that dough, since originally the dough was cooked, so that's a poter from challah. Now, truth to be told, we don't even follow that view. That's what we pointed out yesterday. That's what we passed, that bagels are chayv in challah. Bagels are hamotz. You do benchen bagels. But there was some tanoim who held that you wouldn't benchen bagels. There's some tanoim who held that bagels are not really lechem because they were originally boiled. So within that shita that says that boiling up flour is a mafki, as a paita from challah, the Gemara said explicitly, it doesn't make a difference whether you put the flour into the pot of water or whether you pour from the pot of water onto the flour. And that raised the question, because if you hold that Iroi is not really a mevashel, so why should I make it? So why should that be a paita from challah? If you hold that Iroi is kiklisheini, it doesn't really do anything according to the Rishbam and Rabbeinu Yonah. So then, it's the same as taking flour and putting it with cold water. If you take flour and cold water, make a dough, and you bake it, of course it's chayim and challah. The only potter, the only mafkiyah from challah in this sugya psachim was the fact that a bishul occurred. But if the Rashbam is right, that a bishul didn't occur, so how is that a mafkiyah from challah? But we can now turn the question on its head and say, we're not even sure, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that this is a good, that this did make sense. Why? Because according to the standard, unrevamped version of Rabbeinu Tam, that Iru is only Vashak de Klipa, how does that a pota from Challah? It means maybe the outermost part of the flour that was touched by the water, you have a big pile of flour and it pours the boiling water onto it, so the top layer maybe was Mizbashel, but if all the underneath layers was not Mizbashel yet, so why is that a pota of the garment from Challah? So Taisa themselves realize that they're in trouble. Taisa themselves, when they present this Gemara as a refutation of the Rashbam, immediately realized that this Gemara may be problematic according to Rabbeinu Tam as well. So that's what we left off in the middle of this Taisus in Zvachim in the 8th of the Ramah Kamas. But Taisus brought the Gemara from Zvachim, rejected the Rashbam, and then turned around and said, wait a second. Umiyu Kasha, the second line from the bottom of the 8th of the Ramah Kamas, Umiyu Kasha, Hechi Potter, Ha'enim Avashim, they can leap on the Shmuel there with the Sagav, the Kamakam is saying, will you paskin like Shmuel the Tasagav are, and therefore Rabbeinu Tam extrapolated that it's only Avashim, they can leap on. How is the bishul de klipa the plate from the entire pile of flour? So Taisus says, Mamish stuck. Taisus has to give it a kimta. Piyesh loymar, the mairi can go on the leke el a kadechi of chala mitzumtzum o ma'ati yaiser. The boss of klipa enisha kishya chala. What a terrorist, Taisus says. That it's a hokam of my askinon that you just, because you barely have the amount of flour, it's chayav and chala. How much flour do you have for the shear of challah? It's a machlek, it's not the right, but we paskin that the shear is kedei risei seichem, the same size as the dough was in the midbar. How do you know what size the doughs were in the midbar? The pasuk says that they used to collect the oimel agugolas, and the Torah says about b'shava oimer asiris ha'efahu. So you can do your math. You can, if you know how much an omer is, and how much an efah is, and how much to say, you figure out all the numbers, you come up with a volume of flour, and Chazal did the math, and came up with 43 and a fifth eggs worth of flour. So it doesn't mean 43 eggs of eggs. That would be very, very bad on the cholesterol. It means you have a dough, which has a lot of flour in it. It has the volume of flour of 43 eggs worth, which, again, depending on how you calculate the weights and the different things, it comes out to approximately 11 cups of flour. Somewhere, you know, the different opinions, somewhere between 2.5, 3 pounds, 5 pounds, somewhere in that range of flour. So you're talking approximately 11 cups of flour. That's the shiur chiyuv chal. Less than that, you're not chiyuv chal at all. So Koms Tyson says it must be when the Gemara in Pesachim says that you pour water on top of this flour, this pile of flour, and that's a payutif and challah. That means I had exactly 43, had exactly the amount or a trifle more, mashu more. And now when I pour the boiling water on top, so whatever is nisbashel, the klipa becomes no longer part of the shear through its tayyar for challah. So the name of the Brisa says it's part of challah. So in Ochanami, if I have 100 beitzim in a flour and I pour some boiling water on top, so I knocked off a tenth of a beitzah, so the rest of the flour is still chayav and challah. So in Ochanami says that the boiling, the pouring boiling water will not really do the trick entirely. It'll just knock out of the system the mere kdei klipa, and sometimes knocking out the kdei klipa will be enough to pati from challah. Again, it's a Hailing Hailing Rabbeinu Tam, not going to argue with Taisus and Zvachim Rabbeinu Tam, but whenever you see a teretz like that, you realize that there's got to be something more. There's got to be another teretz here. So we really have two problems with the Sugim Zvachim. According to Rashbam, we're totally up to creep, because according to Rashbam, there's no Bishul at all that takes place. And even according to Rabbeinu Tam, we came up with an answer, but still something that sits, you know, we have a lot of trouble swallowing this teretz of Rabbeinu Tam. So there's got to be something else going on here. So the Ramban comes to the rescue. And the Ramban in the sense of the Zohar suggests that, I didn't put it on the Memor Garments, but maybe we misunderstood that whole sugya in Maseches Pesachim. We thought that you needed a Maisa Bishul to be the Mafkiyim. Yeah, Bishul Ha'isa, the Bishul of the dough. And we're looking at that sugya through the eyes of Allah Bishul. Is it a Kli Rishon? Is it an Eroi? Is it a Vashle Klipa? The Kuldom and running into trouble. Says Ramban, maybe we overdid that. Maybe it's not a Bishul that's a point there. It's just the mere fact that I prepared a dough in a way that's not derech hafiyah. I don't need a formal bishul to be a mafkia. I created, what the Ramban used to phrase, a guvla bi'alma. I created a clump of dough. I created a clump of dough that was not done derech hafiyah. But again, we pass in the halacha, if you subsequently can rectify it by being ofer, that will make it a shem lechem. But the first Tana said no. The Tana of that Bryce is assuming that whatever the first food preparation was, whatever the initial preparation of this dough is, that's the keveya, bein mechil or bein meftor. So since the original preparation of this dough is done, shalei b'dei chafi, it's done through hot water, even though it's true in terms of pure hilchus Shabbos and pure hilchus bishul, you didn't accomplish any bishul. Rashbam is right, Rabbeinu Yehin is right, klisheni, iris klisheni is garnish. You didn't do any maisi bishul, forget about keveya, you didn't do any bishul at all. It doesn't matter, says the Ramban, you don't need a bishul to be put. So we now have three different possibilities in the Rishon, how to reach on this Gemara Maseches Pesachim. Again, it's all within the sheet that we don't paskin on. What is the nature of this potter? What is going on in Pesachim? Why is it that pouring boiling water is a potter from challah? So according to the Yesh Mefarshim and Tzvachim, because Bishul is a maisa is a potter, it's a mafkia for nechi of challah. And whenever you have an iru, you have a halachic Bishul, it's a tantamount to a Bishul in the Rishon. That's according to the Tosfos Maseches Brachim. Then you have Rabbeinu Tam, who says that you need a Maisa Bishul, and you have a Maisa Bishul, but you only have a Maisa Bishul on the Klipa. That's all you need, because you only have 43.2, just Bamish Betzimtzum, and we have the Shiv Chala. Then you have the third possibility, which is, for the Rashbam, you have to say this. And according to Rabbeinu Tam, you don't want to fall back on this strange or kimti, you have to say this as well. Like the Ramban, he said, you don't really need a Maisa Bishul. It's a guvla b'yama, just any food preparation, creation of an isa, shlo b'dei chafiya, can be a paita from challah. So by say, we've taken a tour through Shas to try to figure out, is Iroi Mavasha, not Mavasha, Mdekli, Makul, not at all, Klimisha, Mashani, and we went through Sugis and Shabbos, didn't come up with anything ironclad. Sugis in Pesachim, Sugis in Avodah Zarah. There's one last sugi that we have to tackle. According to Ben Mishan, this is actually where the sugi begins. So we did a little bit backwards. We went all the nine kutchim sugis first. Now we got ourselves ready for brisk. Now we're ready to learn a sugi in Zvachim Rav Tzadihem Beis, which starts out as a kutchim sugi, but very, very quickly is going to become critical for us. it can even count that it's a little bit of Chumash Shia because it is Pash from Pasha's Tzav. So the Gemara is commenting in Zvachim Tzadi, hey, on the Pesukim in this week's Pasha, about if I cook Kodshim, I cook a korban in a Kli, that's a big, big problem. Why? Because even though the Kodshim are kosher, but they're going to become Noser very, very quickly. Anything that's left over from the Zman, depending on the different korban, Chatas has Ozman, Shlom has a different Zman, Oshim has another Zman. Again, different korbanos have different Zman. But all korbanos reach a self Zman, we are to eat the part of the korban after the Zman would be an Issek Karas. This is the rice of eating Noser. So when I cook, let's say, a piece of Chatas in a pot, so some of the Chatas is Nivlo into the pot, we already know. We know there's a Pasha Belias in Kalim. So the Torah says that some of the time of the Chatas goes into the walls of the pot. So for the next few hours, I'm okay. But the minute that Noser kicks in, but tomorrow morning, so then Chatas is, it's only Nechal Yom Alayla. Then the Torah, you can eat it to Alas HaShachar, but Rabbani have to eat it to Chatzais. There's a siyag, you shouldn't come to eat it past Alas HaShachar. So let's say if a person brings the Korban Chatas today, and I cook the Korban Chatas in a pot, I can use the pot today. I can use the pot tonight. But by tomorrow morning, if I use the pot to cook myself another Korban tomorrow, so then some of the bleas of the Chatas, of the nice of the Chatas, are going to come back into the meat. That's going to be a big problem. So that's exactly what the Torah says you're not allowed to do. So what does the Torah say you have to do? You have to, in effect, kasher the pot. So this kashering of the pot is what's called Marika Ushtifa. It's similar to kashering regular, but it has a little bit different. There's a couple of rules here and there that make this kashering a little bit different than regular kashering. Those are sugis of Maseches Zvachim, that there are certain things that we throw on above and beyond the regular standards of kashering. Say, the Moshul is a din, that after you finish kashering, derech Marika Ushtifa for Karbonos, after you finish boiling, you do have Gala on it, then you have to wash it off in cold water. Umarach b'shataf b'mayim, so you have to first do marika, which means to boil it like a gala. Then according to one opinion in the Gemara, b'shutaf means you have to then wash off in cold water. What do you have to wash off in cold water for? I cashed it already. What's the purpose of washing in cold water? So the parsha of the Gemara is, it's a gzeres hakosav, and it has nothing to do with the regular kashrut. It's a quirk. It's a gzeres hakosav that you have to, in addition to marika, to get out the dam, you have to do a ma'aseh shtifa as well. So Tosfos quotes that there's a minhag that many people have when they kasher, even say we kasher regular kalim today, so after the kasher is over, we throw it into cold water. So Tosfos writes, it could be, some Rishonim say, maybe that's like a zecha to the kashering of the Beis HaMikdash. Mikra did, it's probably not necessary. There was some Rishonim would try to explain why we do it. Maybe there are some technical reasons why we do it, but according to many, it's just a zecha l'mikdash a little bit. But there's Manjim Beis HaMikdash HaKayim, and these the kasher parts of Karbonas. So there was a parasha Mariko Shtifa, Mariko Shuta Fibayim. This is the other source where the Torah tells us the Pasha Kashri, the two Pashas of Kashri and Kalim and Havocha. One is in Pashas Matos, that's Gilei Nochem, we refer to 1,000 times this year. And the other Pasha is Mariko Shtifa of Pashas Tzav. It happens to be in Pashas Tzav where the Torah tells us the Chiddush that you can't Kashir Cheres. How do you know that you can't Kashir a China, earthenware, etc.? Because the Torah says, Ukli Cheres, Shevu, Shabo, Yishaver. That unlike a Kli Nechoshes, the Torah speaks about two different kinds of Kalim. If you cook chatas in an earthenware pot, you have to break the pot. But if it's a copper pot or other kind of metal pot, so the Torah compares and contrasts shviras klicheres to marikul shtifa by klimateches. So the Gemara says that this is because it is impossible to kasher cheres properly, because cheres, once it's nivla, the belias are so thick, so deep, so ingrained into the, it's so porous. Klicheres are so porous that any yesterday definitely you can never ever get it out. We spoke about this earlier in the year, that the Gemara says it's not 100% true, you really can get it out, you get it out through Libun, is that called getting it out, not called getting it out? We spoke a lot about this earlier on Chetich Nasa Bela Sugis, but by Chetich Nasa Bela Kalev, if you remember back with the Kicheres, Mordechai, that kind of stuff, rings a bell, hopefully, somewhere in the deep recesses of one's mind. We spoke about this at one time, no? Right? Thumbs up on that one, right? One time, good, thumbs up from Shimon in the corner. Okay, good. So Rabbi said, there's a parasha that Torah Mariko Shtifa. So comes the Gemara with the following brayse, and the ninth in Rambam comes, Torah Ban Asher Tevu Shalboi. Ein li ela shebi shalbo. I know that if you cook chatas in a pot, you have to kash in the pot. Iru l'seicher r'seich minayim. How do you know that I didn't cook the chatas in it? But rather, I have a, let's say I have a metal bowl, and I poured from the, I may have a chatas soup. I make this delicious meat soup with besa chatas in it, and now I pour some of that meat soup from the pot onto a bowl. Even the seichir, it's boiling hot. How do I know I have to do marikul shtifa on the bowl? Talmud Loimar, Asher Tevu Shalbo Yishaveh. So it's Aribo Yadrasha. Whatever the exact Rasha is, comes the Rabbos, so feel the Irusaych. So the bottom line is the starting point is the Torah describes Bishul. So Bishul means make Bishul, the pot itself. And Kamashpan exists the cost of Ira Lesaych or Isaych. What we call Ira. Ira is also Chayav and Riku Shtifa. So the market continues. Boy Ron Bachama. Tola Ba'avra Tanur Mahua. Totally different shah. Nothing to do with that shah. A new shah. Ron Bachama is the following shah. Let's say a person takes a piece of chatas, like a piece of a whole animal chatas, and I want to barbecue this chatas. So instead of putting it directly onto a grate, if I take the chatas and I put it onto the barbecue grill, onto the grates, so then I have to kasher the grates. Also, just parenthetically, when I kasher, let's say something that had a bli'ai de'esh, let's say I have a barbecue grill, we're barbecuing a piece of chatas. We go to Kwanam and get together, we're barbecuing the chatas meat. So that's perfectly okay. You're allowed to eat chatas barbecue. The Gemara, according to some Rishonim, the chatchi is supposed to eat it tzli. That's kedar shel balachim oichum. That's even a more chashuv way of eating. Whatever it is, so you take a piece of chatas meat and you throw it onto the barbecue grill. When I'm finished, I have to kasher the grill. So what method am I going to use to kasher the grill? So if you would have asked me, I would have said libun. Of course, everybody knows the Mishnah says it in Avodah Zarah that you have to kasher things through libun. Whenever I had a bliya directly through the eish, hagol is not sufficient. So here is a quirk in halacha. Here the din is that you can even kasha the grill with hagola. My high, who remembers why? What's the yisrael? Why are you allowed to kasha the barbecue grill with hagola if it's only kachim? Kachim is usually more chomer. What makes kachim more kalia that enables you to do it even with hagola? Two words. If you got the two right words, you got it right. If not, you got it wrong. What is it about the kashering for kachim that enables you to lower the standards of kashering? You do not even need libun. It's sufficient with hagola. Anyone remember we spoke about this earlier in the year, no? We never mentioned hetera.
Hetera bola.
Yeah, what sugi do we learn hetera bola? Who remembers? And remember, no, I remember. When do we talk, Osha, when do we talk about hetera bola?
Chametz, no. It's,
what?
Chametz before Pesach and on.
Did we talk about it this year? I don't remember anymore.
So
the Gemara says in the very last daf of Maseches Avodah Zarah, that when you kasha something which is Yisura Bala, let's say Chazin, the Veil Satrafis, so then there are Chilukim, then there are Halachas, if it's Ayde Mayim, you kasha through Agol, if it's Ayde Eish, you kasha through Libun. But if it's a Tera Bala, if it's something that was never Asur Mitchila, it's just going to become Asur later, but right now it's still Mutter, it was a Tera Bala. So a Tera Bala, everything can be kasha through Agol. Why is that true? So let's look in the end of the sentence. Why is that true? So we have to hold on for that till after Pesach. The whole razzle dazzle, shikotai from a Rashba part of this, so give not by knots. There are bullies, you're a bully. It gets labor dick. There's a lot of terrorists. Why that's true? But that's the reality. That's what it says. Parenthetically, this is potentially very, very important. Lamaisa. This chiluk, everyone agrees to this chiluk, that a terabola, there's no need to cash and things will be good. So there's a big, big, big machlekes if you shine him, whether chometz is called a terabola or surabola. So Tosfos quotes one opinion in Pesachim that says that chometz is called the terabola because right now it's mutter. Right now I'm going to have a bagel for lunch in a few minutes. So we have a bagel. Bagel is a terabola. So chometz is a terabola. It's a terabola. So then there's no such thing as libo, never by chometz. You can be masha all chometz to the kelim with hagala alone. And the Ramban disagrees. Tosfos quotes another day also. The Ramban disagrees. And there are more paskas like the Ramban. They know that chometz is isurabola. Chometz is not the same as kachim that is not yet nicer. Chametz is Yisura Bala. Why is Chametz Yisura Bala? It's a week before Pesach. Why is Chametz Yisura Bala? Anyone remember why? We spoke about this once before. Why does the Ramban hold that Chametz is always called Yisura Bala? Anyone know why?
Something about the shame.
That's right. Exactly about the shame. Shmaya love. Zok the Ramban. Chametz is still called Chametz now. It means it's Chametz today. It happens to be that it's not relevant that it's Chometz now because it's not yet Pesach, but it's still called Chometz. Horaya. So my wife is telling me, as soon as I finish here, I got to help clean up for the Chometz. So I have no right to say, what do you mean Chometz? It's not called Chometz. It's our Pesach. It's a week before Pesach. We should have Chometz. So the answer is Chometz is Tefes. It's a shame Chometz even before Pesach. Noiser is not Chal until it's Noiser. So let's say, Marshall, I have a carbon. I just shechted the carbon 10 minutes ago. And it's 2:00 in the afternoon. So would anybody say, oi, I have Noiser here? It's just, it hasn't yet reached 24, it hasn't yet reached the morning, but it's basically nicer. I'm sure it's honest. It's not nicer, but well, it's not toifes, a shame nicer until it becomes nicer. So whereas chametz is toifis on a shem, it's called chametz, albeit it's erev Pesach. So the Ramban said that nuance of noben klein shem makes all the difference in the world up here. Aloha. That's a chiluch and love of deraisa. That's in chametz is shmaya loves of the Ramban. Therefore, it's not subject to the ptua, to the het there, to the leniency of kashrin through agola. Rather, the regular rules of liban versus agola kick in. It's only things that are at terabola don't even the shem is around the bechla. Well, tell the marshal would be another example of a terabola would be. Let's say I have a blia of afleshets, and I want to get out the blia of afleshets. I don't even have bas mecholav yet. I don't even have a problem yet. But for some reason, I want to get this blia of afleshets out. We have a minute. We try not to kasha things back and forth. That's a technicality. Let's say I have a afleshet pot. I want to kasha the afleshet pot to make it the parv again, to make it melachos again. So the din is that there are no dinim of libun. Even if I have a grill, let's say I have a meat grill, and I want to change this meat grill to become a cheese grill. So again, putting aside the minute that we don't like to do that, but meikra din, I could do that. And I do not even have to kashrut with libun, because since it's only basar, that's called a terabola. And a terabola is a special halacha, again, based on a lot of lumdas. There's a special halacha that the chilukim between libun and hagala do not apply to a terabola. I had a few kashas. Just yesterday, somebody asked me a shayla about kashrut a frying pan for Pesach, for chometz, for isurabola, it's terabola. So a lot of these labelic shaylas, mamish, mamish, to come up, a terabola versus isurabola. If you're a marshal, my boss b'cholov, it's clearly a terabola. If I have a meat grill, so that's not shmaya love a boss b'cholov. But anybody say the following: when I have a fleshy kli, so it's basically a boss b'cholov kli. It's just the cholov hasn't entered yet. Marshal, it's like a purim terah. Says that kol zman, there's no cholov there. It's there's nothing wrong. Chametz is still called chametz. Chametz is shmaya love a week before Pesach. Chametz is shmaya love 6 months before Pesach. But noiser is not shmaya love before it's noiser, and boss b'cholov is not shmaya love before it's boss b'cholov. The Rav was very bothered with that Ramban. The Rav didn't understand. What do you mean Shmuelah? Well, because your Rebbetzin tells you to clean up for Pesach. That makes a din deraisa. That's what's keveya, that the standards of kashrut are different in our Torah. So the Rav said that he thinks what the Ramban meant is that Shmuelah, that there are dinim, there are nafkaminas, the din of chametz before Pesach. L'moshel niktosh. There's a din that you can't bring a korban mincha. This week's parash, lo sefer chametz. There's an issa deraisa to bake a korban mincha all year long. The basic was based on kashrut Pesach pretty much all year long. You're not allowed to bake menachas out of chametz, because chametz is a chaleshem all year long. It happens to be that there's no nafkamina of chametz for chutz mikdash all year long. But the shame, chaleshem chametz, is a din deraisa. It's a shame deraisa. It's a chavtza deraisa of chametz. It has some nafkamins ladin in the theoretical world of mikdash, and therefore shmaya love, and therefore that creates an impossibility to kashrut through the lower level of kashrut. So, Kopadim, getting back to a little bit of a sideshow, but back to that story. So, we have a kli that became, had a zabli of chatas, and I want to go ahead and I want to kashrut it. So, Ran Bacham is the following shayla. If I would take, let's say, a piece of kosher meat and stick it against the wall of the oven, or stick it onto a grate and turn on the fire. So then that would be a mamish b'liya. I wouldn't need libun because it's a terabola, but I'd still need agola. I'd still need marika shtifa. That's a milsad b'shita. Rabbi Chama is a following shayla. I didn't put the meat against the wall of the oven. It never even touched the wall of the kli. The model of marika shtifa in the Torah is a shetavushal bai, that there was bishul in the pot, that means the soup is penetrating into the walls of the pot. The flesh, the chatas, the soup is penetrating into the walls of the pot. Here, in fact, Rabbi Chama, the following shayla, says, Talib avitaner, I take a piece of meat and I hang it in the oven. So it's suspended in the oven, but it's not touching anything. So would that be subject to the parish of Mariko Shtifa? So I state, Rabbi Chama lived the 20 years after the Chorban. Rabbi Chama was the son-in-law of Rav Chisda, a very famous Gemara. Gemara says that Rav Chisda had two very young Tamidim, who were both super duper experts to Rav Chisda, the Tamidim of Hakur Rav Chisda. One's name was Rabbi Chama, and one's name was Rava. They were both the Tamidim of Rav Chisda when they were young men. And Rav Chisda had a young daughter. So the young little baby daughter used to sit in his lap sometimes when he said Shias. So the Gemara tells a story that once she was sitting on his lap, and she was a little baby. And he asked her, which of the Tamidim do you want to marry? So she said, I want to marry both of them. So the Gemara says, lo and behold, she had a shikul ruach hakodesh. The Gemara says in Baba Basra that we should nitla nevuah after nevuah was over. So sometimes little children have a mixus and ruach hakodesh, a little mixus nevuah. So this little baby girl said, I want to marry both of them. So the Gemara says, kachava, that she taka married Rabbi Chama. And then after Rabbi Chama died, she taka married Rava. So as a little baby, she somehow had that vision that she's going to end up marrying both of these tamidim. So Rabbi Chama is living in Bavel. Talmud of Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda is already the second generation of Amoraim. He's already after Rav. So you talk about the third generation of Amoraim. You're talking about 200 plus years after the Churban. Rabbi Chama is sitting in Bavel and philosophizing about Adisha. What would the din be? What would the halacha be if you stick a piece of meat into a tanor and it doesn't touch the walls of the tanor? Would you require mikushti from the tanor? What's the shayla? Now, what if you start with Rabbi Chama? Abishalu biluho de kapit rechamonu. Is the Torah machbid on when the Torah says asher tevushal bay? Tevushal bay doesn't just mean it's cooked. Tevushal bay means it's cooked with the bliya. So if there's no bliya, so there's no mariko shtifa. Or maybe no. Maybe we just take the word kipshuto. The Torah says asher tevushal bay. Any kli that chat is cooked in it requires mariko shtifa. Bottom line, tachlis. Did this tanner have food cooked in it? The answer is yes. It had food cooked in it. It was cooked in it. There was no bleas in it, but it was cooked in it. So one could argue that bishop below balua is enough. That bishop below balua is enough to be mechaber. Give me just 1 second. This is something in the other room. Sorry, this is a noise from the other room. I had to close all the in-between doors. Okay, fine. So back to the story. So Rabbi Chama is not sure, what's the din of Mariko Shtifa? Mariko Shtifa emanating from a Bishul Ubalua, or is Bishul Below Balua enough? So I'm a Rabbi. So Rabbi tries to bring a right. Toshma, let's bring a proof. The Brisa said before that there's a requirement of a Mariko Shtifa either on the pot that you cooked in, or on the bowl that you poured into. So what was Rava's raya? So the Chor Rava said, you see that you don't need Bishul Ubalua together. All you need is one of the two. So just, it sounds like Rava was being Peshet the Shal. Again, but Rava and Rabbi Chama, they were Chameirim. They were sitting together in the Shiva. So Rabbi Chama had a Shaila. And Rava said, I'll bring you a raya from the fact that Iruy is a Mechayev of Mariko Shtifa, even though there's no real bishul on it. That's what sounds like the raya is. So you see that one without the other is enough to be mechayev of Mariko Shtifa, who adin, the other without the other is also good. Bishul below below is also. That was Rava's apparent raya. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a good raya. Below below bishul lo kama vayelon. Avada nevada iru requires Mariko Shtifa, because you have balua. Are you missing bishul? That doesn't matter, but there's bluias. He wanted to know the opposite. These are diametrically opposed shilas. These are 180 degree different shilas. The classic Mariko Shtifa is for Bishul with Belia, the real Makoya. Cooking a pot of Chata, the meat of Chatos in my soup pot. That's Bishul with Belia, that's the works. We have two other shilas now where one of those two properties exists and the other is missing. So in the case of the Braisa, that I poured from the soup pot into the metal bowl, that's a belia without a bishul. But the opposite case of Rabbi Chama is when I stuck the piece of meat suspended in midair in the oven, not touching the sides, that's a bishul without belia. So the Gemara said, just because you concluded that belia without bishul is chayav mariko shtifa, lav dafka the other way is right, lav dafka the opposite way is right. So Rabbi Chama shayla still like the shayla, still remains a shayla. So when all the dust settles, we have three different scenarios potentially subject to Mariko Shtifa. We have the classic, the prototype Mariko Shtifa, which is a bishul with belia, that's for sure chayev. Then you have belia without bishul, which the Gemara's Marbe is also chayev. And then you have bishul, belia without bishul, which is for sure chayev. Then you have bishul without belia, which is still subject to a suffix. We're still not sure what the din is. So when all the dust settles, it is clear as day from the Gemara that Iro L'Seicher R'Seich is Chayav Mariko Shtifa. That is not negotiable. That's a fair issue. Bryce, and nobody argues with that. Iro L'Seicher R'Seich is Chayav. So bottom line is I take my pot of soup with a chata soup inside it. I pour it into a metal bowl. There's not a latest asafik whatsoever. It's a milstip shita that you are mechuyav min atayir alts to do Mariko Shtifa. So comes Tosus in the 10th of the Ramah, comes back to the Tosus in Zvachim, as the following startling statement from Rabbeinu Tam. Mikan medaktek Rabbeinu Tam, the iru kikli rishon, midechoshev kimavushol. Zok Rabbeinu Tam, from the fact that there's a din that Iroi is chayev in Mariko Shtifa. The fact that the din is unequivocally that that metal bowl has to undergo Mariko Shtifa. Zaman from Do, you see from here that Iroi is like a Klirishon. Iroi is a Mavashel. Because if it's not Mavashel, there's nothing to talk about, of course. How could you pass chayev in Mariko Shtifa if it's not Mavashel? That was Rabbeinu Tam's Raya. So Pilei Ploin Rabbeinu Tam. Pilei Ploin, Frektasis, Venir de Adrab, Koshimika. If you want to invoke that Gemara in Zvachim, the exact opposite is true. That Korile Besomach Balua Balai Bishel. That's the case that the Gemara says is Balua Balai Bishel. How in the world could Rabbeinu Tam quote that Gemara as the source Zaman from the, oh, you see from here, that it must be a Kliri Shine, because it's not, a, it must be Bishel. Because if it's not Bishel, Musfam Riko Shtifa. What are you talking about? The Gemara says the Feirush versus black on white. That's the case of Balua Balua Bishel. What in the world is Rabbeinu Tam talking about? So Mir Yishloi, the Taisa says, he came with Rabbeinu Tam, a Toyer. Rabbeinu Tam's quoting the Gemara. Rabbeinu Tam saw the next line of the Gemara. So Mir Yishloi, Rabbeinu Tam meant as follows. The Chashel Le Balua Balua Bishel, V'she'eino Mizbashel Machbas HaKli, the B'chli Achen is Bashel. What the Gemara meant to say is as follows. But the Gemara says that when you pour from the pot into the bowl, vis-a-vis the bowl, is the bowl, Dino, is a bishul taking place in the bowl? Of course there's a bishul taking place. Of course there's a Kli Rishon here. Of course Kli Rishon is Mevashel. That's not a Shaila. If Kli Rishon wouldn't be Mevashel, if Kli Rishon would be like it's Tzaynin B'Tzaynin, like my brother the Rashbam said, so then what do you mean Riko Shtifa for Tzaynin for? According to Rashbam, Kli Sheni is cold. Kli Sheni doesn't send you to the burn unit. Kli Sheni is garnish, is zero, nothing. It's mamish, command the leisadom. So that's what Rabbeinu Tam said. And my brother, my older brother is right, that iris ke Kli Sheni, it's mamish, you know, cold. Since when do you need Riko Shtifa for cold things? So it is clear as day from the fact that it's a dinim Riko Shtifa, of course it's hot. And of course it's hot, that means it's hot to the degree of Kli Rishon. So what did the Gemara be when it called it a balua b'loi bishol? But the Gemara meant this as follows. Normally, the model, the prototype, the illustration of Mariko Shtifa in the Torah is talking about a case where the Torah is demanding that we do Mariko Shtifa on this pot, and this pot was the one that was the Mevashel. This pot was the one responsible. This pot was the one that was the engine driving this Bishul. Whereas over here, the bowl is not the Mevashel. Yes, it's true, the bowl is still experiencing a chav. Yes, there's still heat in the bowl. Yes, apidin is still called a klivisha. Yes, iris ke klivisha. Yes, that's all true. But this bowl is not responsible for the heating up of this food. This bowl came in after the story was over. So that's all the Gemara meant when it said that balua bal bishul. The Gemara never meant to say this is cold. The Gemara never meant to say that this is meaningless. The Gemara never meant to say iris ke klisheni. The Gemara just meant this is not the quote unquote bishul of classic Riko Shtifa, because the bowl itself is not the Mevashel. But to say that the Iri is a garnish, the Iri is like pouring cold soup onto a bowl, that's ridiculous as Rabbeinu Tam. How are you talking to Marcus? So when it comes, bottom line, Rabbeinu Tam, machtevek that line, below below bishul, that line didn't really mean all that much. And Rabbeinu Tam was free to say that the emes lamita is a Rabbeinu Tam, the emes lamita is, that Iro L'Seichai is Chayvim Riko Shtifa. What that means is, that is tantamount to saying, if Iro L'Seichai is Chayvim Riko Shtifa, that is tantamount to saying that the koyach of that soup, when it falls into the pot, it's a koyach of a mevashel, that there's something that still can create bishul. That's why you have an Riko Shtifa problem. According to Rabbeinu Tam, the koyach of that soup, when it hits the metal bowl on the bottom, is a mevashel, and that's the mechayev of Mariko Shtifa. And we can extrapolate from there that when I pour water from my tea kettle onto my tea bags, that the koyach does water is a mevashel. And therefore, there's an issa deraisa of bishul on those tea bags. I don't know whether the issa deraisa is on all the tea bags. I don't know whether it's on a kedei klipa. I have no idea, and I don't care right now, says Rabbeinu Tam. But min haTorah, there is some act of bishul happening. You cannot hide behind the Rashbam and Rabbeinu Yain and say it's just cold right now. That's not acceptable. That from the fact that there's a din of Mariko Shtifa, Zetman from Daw, there must be a Bishul taking place. It's inconceivable that a Bishul is not taking place. How would the Rashbam respond? How would the Rashbam respond back to Rabbi Natan? How would the Rashbam defend the idea of Mariko Shtifa without a Bishul taking place? What's the answer? What's the answer, everybody? Say, what would the Rashbam say? He says you need a Bishul for Mariko Shtifa. The Rashbam took the Gemara Kipshuto. What is this called? What is Iri called, Rabbi say? Iri L'Seicha R'Seach is called what? What's the phrase the Gemara uses that really means it? What's the phrase? According to the Rashbam, what phrase appears in the Zvachim Tzadi Hei that really describes accurately what Iri is?
Balua below Bishul.
That is it. That is what the Gemara is describing. According to Rabbi Natan, Balua below Bishul is a joke. Below Bishul doesn't mean it means, of course, there's Bishul. Adar is Bishul. Now Bishul would have been Mariko Shtifa. It just means this pod didn't do the act of Bishul. Good, Shkach, thank you. But according to the Rashbam, below Bishul means that the kayach of this water, the kayach of this soup that's hitting the metal pot, is water that is soup that has the kayach to be Mavliya, or Benish kayach to be Mavasho, and that's all you need from Mariko Shtifa. So it turns out there's a major machlekes of Benatam and the Rashbam on a level of the Araisin in Bez Manchem, we speak to Sheikhayim. What is the ultimate Mechayev of Mariko Shtifa? According to Benatam, the ultimate Mechayev of Mariko Shtifa is a Bli and a Bishul. You don't need that this should be the pot that was the engine to drive the Bishul. That talk you don't need. And that's all the Gemara meant when it said Blo Blo Bishul, that's all it meant. But for Ikaron Zekter Benatam, you need a Bishul to be a Mechayev of Mariko Shtifa. Bli is not enough. And according to the Rashbam, it's not true. That Baliyah, the Gemara meant it literally, Balua Balai Bishul, and that's exactly what Iri is. It's a Balua Balai Bishul. Rabbi said, Hu Yachaps, this Machlaikas from Benatam and the Rashbam, as to how to learn Pshad in Zvachim Tzadi Hei, Hu Chaps, that this Machlaikas is Lishitosam and what Sugya?
Did the Shach say something similar to this?
Exactly, he said the identical thing. Namely, remember that Gemara back in Pesachim where the Gemara said, when you have Chamasach Tzeinim, what did the Gemara say? The Gemara says, Mavliach de Klipa. That's a given, you can't argue with that. What did Rabbi Natan say, Rabbi say? If it's Mavliach de Klipa, what else must it do? Rabbi Natan says, if it's Mavliach de Klipa, what else must it do, Rabbi say? It must be able to do.
Bishul Kedei Klipa.
You can't split between Bliyas and Bishul. If it's Mavliya, then it's Mavashel. The two are holding hands forever and ever and ever. Whatever is Mavliya is Mavashel. And who is the great Rishon who said, no, Bliyas Lechud or Bishul Lechud? Who was that?
Rashbam.
That was the Rashbam. The Rashbam said, just because the Gemara says it's Mavliya doesn't necessarily mean it's Mavashel. So Rabbi said we have two sugyas that are talking about different topics. They're both talking about Iroi, but they're talking about different topics. One's talking about Iroi vis-a-vis Kashrus. One's talking about Iroi vis-a-vis Mariko Shtifa. And all of a sudden, the same theme is playing out. Just how serious do you think Bliyas and Bishul are related to one another? Can you split between the two? So Rabbi Natan said, no. Rabbi Natan said, you cannot have a halacha that is predicated on Bliya without assuming that a Bishul is taking place as well. And therefore, if the Gemara in Pesachim talks about Bliyas being Kedei Klipa, then by extension, Bishul is also Kedei Klipa. If the Gemara in Zvachim is talking about Mariko Shtifa for Bliyas, then that's synonymous with saying that there's a Bishul that's taking place. And the Rashbam understood, no, Bishul Luchud and Bliyas Luchud, that the rules are not the same. Just because a Bliya takes place in Pesachim doesn't mean a Bishul takes place. And just because a Bliya takes place in Zvachim doesn't mean a Bishul takes place. So these two sheep, this is the Rashbam and Rabbi Natan, this is part of this long fight going on at the Shabbos table between the two. Every time you see a Bliya, you automatically say, if it's a Bliya, then Bliya is dependent upon Bishul, or can you split between the two? Rabbi said, what other major shaila have we already discussed from the Rishayim, the Gedalia place community in Yerodea, that may also depend on this shaila? How close related are the parishes of Bliya and Bishul? You know, if you think about it, we have different parishes in the Torah. We have parishes of Bishul in the Torah of Korban Pesach, we have Bishul of Bas Mechollah, Bishul of Shabbos, a lot of dinim that revolve around Bishul. And then we have Sugya Zabliya. We have Tom Kikers, we have Sugya Zabliyas, Kasher Kalis, Mariko Shtifas, etc. And now we are coming to the realization that there is a running machlekes, the two Gedalia Olim, the two Halakhic brothers of Natan and the Rashbam, just how ironclad is a link between the two. If one exists, the other must be there, or can we separate between the two? Rabbi Natan keeps on sticking the two hand in hand, and the Rashbam keeps on separating between the two. What other shaya do we have, Rabbi Isai, that highlights this idea. A bli as in bishul together forever and ever and ever, or can we split between the two? Who remembers? We just spoke about this a couple of days ago.
The ramal with the knife.
I can't hear what?
The ramal with cutting the meat with a
knife. Oh, the ramal about klisheni. Remember we said that klisheni and mavlashel. What about mavliya? So half the Rishayim said klisheni and mavliya. And the other half of the Rishayim said, what are you talking about klisheni and mavliya? Why not? Just because it's not mavashel doesn't mean it's not mavliya. So the Ramah was making on this, then the Ramah went even further and said even though a gush is not a problem, but the Ramah was be karon meikel mikra din, that blias do not apply in a cliche, because the Ramah was going with this mindset of Rabbi Tam that blias and bishul are holding hands forever, ever, ever, ever. They will never, ever separate, never, ever part ways. And therefore, we know for a fact cliche and mavasha, whatever that's based on, then cliche and hodinam, cliche and mavliya. And other Rishonim and other poskim, Shach Taz, others are not so convinced that equation is true. It is very possible that Belias and Bishul are separate from one another. And Harai, according to Rashbam, they're very separate from one another. They're separate from one another in Maseches Bochim. They're separate from one another in Maseches Psochim. They do two different sugyas. They're not totally separate. You can have Belias without Bishul. So Rabbi say, we're back to square one. This is, I don't know, it's our fifth Gemara. This is Gemara Maseches Vachim. And we're still not sure. We know for a fact that Iru L'Sech R'Sech is time Rikun Shiva. I was sitting in Bizman Shemesh Bintu Shekayim, and somebody brought me a metal bowl that they poured Chata soup on. I would have no hesitation to tell you, M'chuyiv Midaraisim Rikun Shtifa. I wouldn't know whether that's B'Teres Bishul or B'Teres Bliya. That I wouldn't know, but I would know that you're M'chuyiv to do it. So Rabbi said, Ad Kan Divrei Bavli. Now the Yerushalmi has what to say about this topic as well. There is a very, very cryptic Yerushalmi. We'll read it hopefully together, and then you tell me what you think Yerushalmi means. It's the 11th of the Ma'amar Koymas, Yerushalmi and Shabbos, Per Gimel Lochehe. Ma'o litein tavla milmata, v'laros alein milamala. Is a person on Shabbos permitted to take spices, uncooked spices, put them on the bottom, put them in a cup, put them in a bowl, and to pour boiling water onto the spices? Rabbi said, what is the Yerushalmi asking? The Yerushalmi is asking the sugya we've been learning for the last 3 days. Is Iroy on Shabbos mutar asur? So we all think that this shaila started way, 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 way back in the days of the Rashbam Rabbi Natam. Wrong. It predated them hundreds of years. Back sitting in Tiberia in the north of Eretz Yisrael, back in 1800 years ago, the Heligir Amir Rabbi Yechon and his Tamidim were sitting and contemplating this very shaila. So Ma'al Litein Tavim Ulmat Laras Lein Ulmat. Rabbi Yaina Omar Osir. Rabbi Yaina said, you're not allowed to do it. Why did Rabbi Yaina say this? To Irik Eklirishinu. Yamaira. Yushalmi. Rabbi Yaina already said that you're not allowed to do it. Not to be confused with Rabbi Yona, the Rishon from Spain. The Rabbi Yona from the Amoraim, from Eretz Yisrael. Yushalmi says it's also Irik Eklirishinu. Chaylei the Rabbi Yehuda min hado. Rabbi Yehuda's strength, his chayil. That's like the lashon of the Yerushalmi. Chaylei the Rabbi Yehuda min hado. Rabbi Yehuda's min hado means from this. Rabbi Yehuda's raya is from the following. Listen to the Heiligi Yerushalmi. Echad shebishal boy, echad sheiru l'seichei reseiach. The Yerushalmi makes reference to the same brayse that appears in the Bavli and Zvachim Tzadihei. We don't have a Yerushalmi in Kutchim. But if there ever was or not, we don't know, but we do not have one. There was some faker about 150 years ago who decided to put out his own Yerushalmi on Kutchim. He was very, very smart. He knew how to learn very well, and he fooled a lot of people. And then eventually they realized that it was all a hoax. It was all a forgery. For some reason, in the 1800s, there was like this tremendous Yetzirah to forge Svarim. You had to be a real Talmid Chacham Gadol. Like a regular guy who tried to forge a safe, he would see through it in a second. So this was the time when they were forging Rishalmis in Kutchim. This was the time that somebody forged the Chubas HaRosh. And they pulled the wool over a lot of Gedaliah and a lot of great Acharenim who thought that Rishalmi was authentic, and they thought the Rosh was authentic. Then in later years, they all realized the whole thing was a hoax. Anyway, so I guess you have to have your... each generation has their challenges. So back to our story. So, but we do have Rishalmi and Shabbos. This is the real Bukhor. This is the real Rishalmi. So the Rishalmi and Shabbos says, a Raya from Rabbi Yonis, from this Braisa, that if you pour the chata soup onto a bowl, you have to do Mariko Shtifa. So you see from here that you're not allowed to pour hot water onto Tavlin on Shabbos. What is this Rishami saying clearly, without a doubt, without a shadow of a doubt? At this point, what's Rishami saying? No? What's it saying?
Yes, and Bishlam are the same.
The Bishlam Bill is the same. That from the fact that you have to do Mariko Shtifa, that's a Raya Brewer, that's a function of Bishlam. And it's exactly right out of Rabbeinu Tam's book. If it's a function of Bishlam, so Mamela, you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. So it's clear as day, at least at this stage in the Rishalmi, Rabbi Yehina is assuming that Mariko Shtifa is required. That's tantamount to saying it's Bishlam, and Bishlam therefore will be also in Shabbos. Amar Rabbi Yaisi, the Amar Rabbi Yaisi disagrees with his colleague Rabbi Yehina, and he says, no, Tamon, Klicheres Beilea, Tavlin Enem is Bashlin. Rabbi Yaisi says, no, it's not a good proof. Why? So there, as we mentioned before, there are actually two examples in the Torah that gives explicitly a Pashas Tzav about the Chatas meat that gets cooked up in pots. One is a Kli Cheres, or one is a Kli Necheshes, Kli Meteches and Metal. When it comes to Kli Necheshes, the Torah says, you can Kash and Riku Shtifa. When it comes to Kli Cheres, the Torah says, U Kli Cheres Shetavu Shalbo Yishaber. So comes Rabbi Yossi and the Yerushalmi and says, that when the Torah is marbe, that even Eroi, which pasuk is that talking about? If you look in Chumash, it says, "Ukli cheres shetavu shalbo yishaver." The mekli necheshes bushal rokushur v'mayim. The riboy of Eroi is not even talking about kli necheshes. The riboy of Eroi is not even talking about rikos shtifa. The riboy of Eroi is talking about shviras kli cheres. Now we thought until now that what's the difference? Shviras kli cheres is the halach equivalent of rikos shtifa of kli meteches. It means the Torah is saying that in both cases there was a blia slash bishul, whereas in kli cheres there's no way to rectify it because the blia is never leave. A kli matech, as the Torah says, merkush v'mayim. But in terms of the degree of whether we have a problem in the first place, we didn't think there was any difference in kli cheres and a kli matech. The ability to rectify the problem maybe is different actually. But what created the problem in the first place was the same standards as the bishul. So now comes Rabbi Yaisi and the Rishalmi and takes it about face and questions what I just said and says, no. Taman klicheres beileya, over there was Eroi. It means Eroi has the klech to be beileya by klicheres, but tavlin and him is bashlin. But it doesn't have the klech to cook. So what is Rabbi Yaisi saying? Rabbi Yaisi sounds like he's saying, don't bring me a raya from klicheres to other things. That means klicheres maybe requires its process of Shvira. Maybe that doesn't mean that's Bishul. Maybe it means what? Maybe it means Bliya. Maybe in effect what the Gemara is saying is that Kli Cheres could be Beileya, a Betavlin, and a Mispashlin. That's what sounds like the Gemara is saying at this point. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Hasid Rabbi Yossi by Rabbi Bun. Rabbi Yossi by Rabbi Bun was made sure he asked the question, says, V'altani apel Kli Necheshes ken. You can't tell me that this is something quirk about Kli Cheres. We have the same Braisa about Kli Necheshes. So then the Gemara, the Yerushalmi, gives the cryptic six words. Islach Lemeimar Kli Necheshes Beileya. I don't know whether to pronounce that with a question mark at the end or not. Islach Lemeimar Kli Necheshes Beileya. What just flew by us? So here a Braisai is a major machlokes in the Mefarshi and Rishalmi, which is ultimately Machlekes Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam, how to read what just transpired in this Rishalmi. There are four stages of the Rishalmi. The Rishalmi raises the question, step number one, are you allowed to pour hot water onto your tea bag? That's the Shail of the Rishalmi. So step number two was Araya. If there's a requirement of Mariko Shtifa, then there's an Isra Bishul. So it's clear at that stage of the Rishalmi that Bishul, Mariko Shtifa, it's all the same. Question, did anything change? So Rabbi Yossi wanted to be doch the right and say, no, Kli Cheres is Beileya. So it sounds like what Rabbi Yossi is saying is something along the following. He's questioning that equation from Mariko Shtifa to Bishul. And he's saying that maybe we have a Belia issue here, and maybe there's no Bishul issue here. Maybe. Maybe Belia Lechud, at least by Kli Cheres, and no Bishul. So Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Bun said, no, but we have by Kli Necheshes also. So what was Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Bun's taina? What did he want from the plain Rabbi Yossi? So the chur Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Bun meant was as follows. You want to tell me that there's a quirk by Kli Cheres that you have to break your Kli Cheres even without Bishul? That I'll be makabel. That I'm willing to say. If the din would have only been either it was only this rabbi by Kli Cheres, ich bin makabel, that's a din in Blias, because after all, we know the Kli Cheres, the Blias are gefährlich. The rate of infiltration of Blias are tremendous. You can never get it out. There's no solution, no way to rectify Kli Cheres. So Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Bun, is saying to Rabbi Yossi, ich bin makabel your teretz, by Kli Cheres. I can accept that teretz, that just because you need Riku Shtifa, or not really, just because you need Shviras Kli Cheres, so you cannot extrapolate that Bishul is the problem on Shabbos. Ich bin makabel. But the Braisa Shev Efeirish, apokli de Chayishas Kein, Chazal had the exact same drasha that Iroi is a Mechayiv from Riku Shtifa, and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Bun couldn't believe that. He said, Kli de Chayishas? Kli Matechas? Favos, why do you need a Mriko Shtifa on Kli Matechas if not for the fact that a Bishul took place? You want to tell me a story? Why do you give me a Bubba Maitza that on Kli Cheres you can have believes without Bishul being Mechayev Shvi Rechman Mekamim? But by Kli Necheshes, that's impossible. That was Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Bun's word. If that's the case, if Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Bun got the last word in the Sugya, so then he just proved that the original proof of Rabbi Yonah was correct. That the potential dichay of Rabbi Yosi that Kli Cheres belay at Tavlim Sebashim has been rejected. Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Bun got in the last word, which brought Rabbi Yonah back to life. That from the fact that there's a dinam riko shtifa and even on Kli Matechas zetlin fendoz araya brura as mevashel, because it would be inconceivable to have riko shtifa without a bishul on a Kli Matechas. And the sugya ends. Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Bun just got the last word in. And that would lead us to conclude that Tachi Iru is a problem. Iru is a conclusion, and the Talmud would be right. The problem is, what do the last six words mean? Islach l'meimak l'chonish yisbo'ilayah. So if you want Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Bun to get the last word in, then you have to read those last six words as like a bitmiah, namely, Islach l'meimak l'chonish yisbo'ilayah. You're going to tell me a bubamaitza that l'chonish yisbo'ilayah without bishul? Forget it. Don't tell me that you wanted to give me a half-baked answer by Kli Cheres Ich bin makabel, but I just rejected, I just refuted your teretz because the identical braisa that's Marbi Iroi appears by Kli Cheres as well. So if that's what Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Bun meant, that those last six words are him talking and his drawing home his final point, and he's giving the punch on his makabel patish is Islach Lameima, could you say such a crazy thing? Kli Cheres Beleya, question mark 1,000 times over. You can Kenish, you cannot say such a thing. And therefore, that shows that Rabbi Yossi Dichli or Kli Cheres Belei Tavlis Pashon is wrong. If Rabbi Yossi is wrong, then Rabbi Yonah is back on target. So you have three different Amorim here. Rabbi Yonah made a statement, Rabbi Yossi refuted him, and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Bun refuted Rabbi Yossi, thereby bringing Rabbi Yonah back to life. Good thing everyone's name started with Yud. So Rabbi Yonah is back to life, and his Raya was a solid Raya, that Rabbi Yonah set stands the Maskana say Rishami. That it's Osir, the Iruk and Klevishan, Cheder, Bianim, and Hadar, that if it's Mriko Shtifa, then Memel, it's Mevashel. And that is clearly how Rabbi Natan would read this Rishami. This is how the Taisus in Zvachim would read the Rishami. Whether the Rishami ultimately means because they're Klipa or Legamre doesn't really matter because all we have to identify is a little bit of an Isidirai, so we don't need the whole thing to be also. As long as you get a Mashu, you would need a Mriko Shtifa on the Klipas also. So I don't really care right now whether Rabbi Natan's version is right or the revamped Rabbi Natan is right. That doesn't interest me right now. But it is clear as day that if you read the Rishama the way I just read it, that Rabbi Yonah stands, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Bun stands, Rabbi Yossi is rejected, and Bishul and Belia go hand in hand, and Mika Shtif is the Raya Brewer that Iris Gekhlu Bishul. Rabbi said there is another way to read the Rishama. You could read the Rishami that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Bun did not have the last word. That the same way Rabbi Yossi rejected Rabbi Yonah, the last line of Rishami rejects Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Bun as well. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Bun's entire theory was, you want to tell me a half story that Kli Cheres is Belay without Bishul Kenza, maybe you're right. But to say the same thing by Kli Necheshes is ridiculous. And that's exactly what the last six words are saying to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Bud. It's not so ridiculous. It's actually true. So read the last two lines in Rishami as follows. Hasib Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Bun, but Tani Apa Kli Necheshes came. And therefore, it is inconceivable that for Kli Necheshes, you can be required Mika Shtifa without Bishul. And says the Yerushalmi, this is not Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Bund talking anymore. This the other Amram, this is Rabbi Yossi who's responding back. This is the Stam Yerushalmi, Amram responding back. You're wrong. Islach lemeimar. You could say Kli Nechoshes Boleah, exclamation point. Not question mark. Unfortunately, there are no pronunciation marks in the Yerushalmi. So this is not a question like Bitnia, like isn't that silly? This is a statement of fact. It is not silly. It is actually true. Islach lemeimar Kli Nechoshes Boleah. But just as Rabbi Yossi a minute ago said that Kli Nechoshes is Boleah and there's no Bishul, the same can be said with Kli Nechoshes that it's Boleah without Bishul. And therefore, Mariko Shtifa is a function of Belia. Who would read the Yerushalmi this way, Rabbi said? Which great Rishon, obviously? Which great Rishon must read the Yerushalmi this way? That Rashbam. The last word of the Yerushalmi is Rashbam. That Belia is without Bishul. Who's that?
Rashbam.
Rashbam would read the Yerushalmi this way. So, Acharei Kichlosa Kol, Rabbi said, the Machlekes to Rashbam and Rabbi Natam all boils down to one six-word phrase in Yerushalmi. We do not know whether Islach L'meimach Kli Nechoshes Boleah is read with a question mark or whether it is read with an exclamation point. The entire sugya of 3 days hinges on a question mark versus an exclamation point in a Yerushalmi. At the end of the day, is the Yerushalmi comfortable with splitting between Boleahs and Bishul, or is Yerushalmi uncomfortable with splitting between the two, which ultimately will impact upon whether you think the original Raya of Rabbi Yonah is correct or not, which is ultimately the Machlokes to Rashbam and Rabbi Natam in Maseches Vachim, which is ultimately the Machlokes to Rashbam and Rabbi Natam in Maseches Psochim, which is ultimately the Machlokes to Rashbam and Rabbi Natam in Maseches Avodah Zarah about Kashri and the Gas, which is ultimately the Machlokes to Rashbam and Rabbi Natam about the Sugya and Hafrash Eschala, which is ultimately the Machlokes how to read the Mishnah, quoted Daf Lamedtes, which is ultimately the Maseches Chagaja, ultimately the Machlokes about how to read the Mishnah, Daf Mem Beis. Everything we spoke about for the last 3 days, all six Rayas from Chazal, all hinge upon a question mark versus an exclamation point in a Yerushalmi. Did everybody realize that when you read that Yerushalmi? Pasha, right? No, Shimon, come on. It's obvious, Donnie. No, it wasn't Pasha, Zach, right? Who here now realizes the godless see when your first grade teacher tells you have to know whether it's a question or a statement. It's very important. The whole world is hinging, whole waiting. The guy standing and trying to pour his tea, trying to pour his boiling on the tea, whether he's going to the base of skill or not, depends on a question mark or an exclamation mark or a question mark in the Rishalmi. So Rabbi Sai, I can't say we finished the sugya, but we did, for our purposes, finish the Mar Mekoymus of Shas, both Talmud Bavli and Rishalmi. And now we have a little bit more work cut out for us, hopefully that's Yom tomorrow, namely, how does any of this play out L'maisa? Bottle, how do we pass in Shulchan Aruch? Now, there are so many different areas of Shulchan Aruch we could check. We could check Hilchas Shabbos, we could check Hilchas in Yeridah, we could check Hilchas Chala. If we live B'zman HaMikdash, we could check Hilchas Mariko Shtifa. We have so many different areas to look. And we're going to try to get some kind of clarity to the Shaila. If you're expecting clarity in the next first 5 minutes of Shia tomorrow, so you may have to go to another Shia, but hopefully we will try to put together the pieces of the puzzle. We've gone from the Gemaras, we really started with the Rishonim and went back to the Gemaras and the Babas and the Rishalmis. Hopefully that Shia tomorrow will pick up from critical Ramah and Yerdeya, important comment of a Magen Avraham and Erechaim and Chas Brachas of all places, a Magen Avraham tucked away in Chas Shabbos. So we're going to kind of put together the pieces of this puzzle from the Gedalia Peskim and Shulchan Aruch and Esekelim to try to see where does all this lead us. Again, we have three possible logical possibilities. Either we have the Rashbam, again, four possibilities. We have Rashbam himself, we have Rabbeinu Yonah's version of Rashbam. We have the old Rabbeinu Tam of the Klipa, and then we have the newfangled Rabbeinu Tam of the Taizim Zvachim. Which of these four sheets is going to make their way lehalacha lemaisa? So hopefully that's tomorrow. We'll try to tackle that part of the sugya as well. Okay? I wish you have a wonderful, wonderful day. Keep on shagging away.